Episode 273, December 5th, 2016.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the Racist Rob and Racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
From radio, now in a closet studio, they are Rob and Joe. All the listeners in the chat room, they make Rob mad, mad, mad. But when they slurp our producer, oh, you know it makes them glad, glad. The girls that Joe loves so, they're all too young to vote. He wants them. Oh, time to his bed post.
If you're in your 50s and you haven't written a will, there's something wrong with you.
Welcome to the show, everybody. 1 week into Robbie's 51st year, right? That's how it works. And Joe, you just turned 48, correct?
That's right. We celebrated it at medieval times in the beautiful Arundel Mills Mall.
Yes, we were surrounded by two children's birthday parties, one on each side, and then there was us. We'll get to all the hijinks, more Gramps stories. We have a new Rob and Joe Show promotion. What's the word for it? Exciting news. We'll get to that. A Scott Apple story, a Eric Woodworth story, and of course, the Jeremy Woodworth versus Chris Recidivo audition tape to be Joe's co-host on the Ravens post-game show. Coors Light, last call, 98 Rock. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Thanks for coming out, man. You didn't give me a present, did you, Rob?
Okay. Now, I did not. Did other people give you presents?
Kind of. Dave, my ex-landlord Dave, he brought me a statue, a wolf statue that he'd been holding on for 6 months.
Dave also buys drinks every time you go out. He likes to just give. He's a giver.
Oh, man, he is. Matter of fact, he's the one that got the VIP section for us when we went to see guys with thin ties.
I wondered how that happened. I should have known that was a Wilkerson production. So did Justin, he was there. Did he give you a present?
No present from Justin either.
Okay, well, so basically Dave's the only one that gave you a present.
Dave gave me a present. Erica gave me a present. James gave me a present. I think that might have been it.
All right, well, did you expect me to give you a present?
Well, I didn't until I saw other people giving me presents, and then I did.
Well, how am I supposed to know that? You think that we talked about this?
You didn't get a look at my wolf statue, have you? I mean, I got a lot of wolf things, by the way. I got a wolf calendar. I got a wolf hat. I got a wolf statue, which I love. As a matter of fact, while we're on the air, I'm going to go ahead and take a picture of it so you can get a peek at it.
Yeah, why haven't you already posted it to the Rob and Joe Show Facebook? I would say you should have posted it to the Rob and Joe Show Facebook, but I'm pretty sure you don't know how to do that.
So one of the few things I do know how to do is post a picture.
Can you get into our Facebook page?
No, that I can't do.
I guess we could make him also an admin, right? Is that how it works?
Yeah, well, we're not do that.
Well, he won't be able to figure it out still. Don't worry about it. You post it, I'll share it to our page.
I just sent it to Robbie. Sorry about that. I couldn't find you on my phone, and when I put it near the microphone, it makes a weird noise. So you have it, Robbie.
Yeah. Before we get to all your birthday shenanigans, Robbie, are you doing better 1 week into this? this 51st year.
Yeah, I'm managing.
Well, you sound better. Yeah, when we talked to you last week, I was worried.
I appreciate you worrying.
That's back to last week.
You don't sound that much better, actually. If you were at a 10 of depression last week, where are you at?
No, I was a 9 last week.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
I'm like a 7.
Oh, look at that. Okay. Getting way better.
What is your walking around normal walking?
It's got to be around a 7, right? Just being you.
Oh, you mean like my average level of depression? Not clinical depression, but right. Rob Robinson depression. Yeah. Usually, you know, it varies between a 2 and a 4, maybe. If one being the lowest.
Okay. What would make you more upset, Robbie? You turn 50. Just for the day, not over the course of a few weeks, but for the day, what would make you more upset? If you turn 50, the day you turn 50, or if your TiVo didn't record Westworld?
Turning 50 is much worse. My TiVo, I've got other options on watching Westworld. I don't have to have it on the DVR. It's better to have it on the DVR, but that doesn't really... I have alternatives to get it.
Are you talking? You don't want to say on the air, but you're talking about that Fire Stick that you jailbroke, and now you can see every television show everywhere. Is that what you don't want to mention?
Wow, you've accomplished a lot at your age. How much? What would you give up, Robbie, to set the clock back 10 years? Everything you have right now, you have. Your life's exactly the same, but instead of having just turned 50, you just turned 40.
What would I pay?
Like, would you give up a finger?
No.
Interesting. Pinky finger?
No.
What about a pinky toe? Would you give up a pinky toe?
Maybe a pinky toe.
Would you have to have a tattoo you cannot remove that was embarrassing, but it wasn't visible?
Listen, you're only taking 10 years off my life. Come, make it good. Make it worthwhile. Make me 25 again or 30.
Well, okay. If you're 25 again, you're losing an arm.
Maybe.
No, because then you have no arm. I mean, I want to be complete.
It's going to be difficult to do my job with no arm, so I couldn't give up my arm.
And I can't go back 20 years because then my girlfriend's going to be 6 years old.
Well, no, it's not a real, you don't actually go back in time. You just become
I stay here, but I'm 25.
Yes. Katie would probably leave you then. She wants an older man.
Yeah, right. Call me in 20 years.
All right. So you wouldn't give $5,000 to be 40?
Of course I would. Are you kidding me? Yes, I'd give $5,000.
All right. Yeah. $20,000.
Yes.
$100,000. You can make payments.
$100,000 to be
40. It's not a lot to buy 10 years of.
Well, it's 8 years for me.
Oh, yeah.
Am I 38?
Sure, you're 38.
All right, I'd do it. Yeah, for $100,000, I'd do it.
All right. Robbie?
Yeah, I think I would.
Marcus?
I'll give you $500,000.
Yeah.
I couldn't afford $500,000. That's the problem.
How much would you accept to add 5 years?
Jeez, it'd be a lot. To add five, Robbie be 5 years away from 60 if he added 5 years.
But his health is the same, though. It's not. He doesn't age 5 years physically. So in theory, that wouldn't change. It really doesn't matter.
Because if you change nothing, then you know.
Yeah.
You mean to change nothing? Just the number?
The number? No. The number is the only thing that changes. I don't actually physically get younger.
No. If you go back, you get younger. But okay, you're right. Something has to change. All right, so automatically you're 5 years older, and physically too.
You'd have to give me like 20 million.
It wouldn't be 20 million, but it would be. It'd be a lot. You're basically taking 5 years off your life.
Yeah, but would your stress level go so down because of this financial windfall that would cancel it out?
Yes.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. Think about all the things that stress you out that wouldn't no longer stress you out if you were financially set for life.
I'd have free time to work out all the time, get in shape. Yes. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Just like when you're going to use that rowing machine, Robbie.
I'm using that.
No, you could hire a private chef. You'd eat really well.
Yeah. Is that what you do? You'd hire a private chef?
If I had a lot of, I would definitely eat better if I had tons of money, sure.
Yeah, I would too, but I wouldn't get a chef to come over here and make my salad.
Well, I mean,
I just wouldn't buy ho-hos or whatever. That's, you know, can't you just not do that?
Well,
you're
going
to tell the chef
now
what to buy anyway. Right.
Well, no, he can make something that tastes better than a ho-ho, but it's actually healthy. All right, this has gone off the rails. Anyway, geez, how much did it take off the 10 minutes of this show so far to start from the beginning? So we went to medieval times for your birthday party, Joe. Katie put together. It was a very successful evening. We had a lot of the famous Robin Josh people there. The show announcer Tim, Scott Apple, Tommy Simbazo, and girlfriend Justin Schlegel, our friends Jen and Barry, of course Tawanda, myself. Who are we missing? Dustin,
Erica,
yes.
Yep.
And James, you're not
Mickey,
your son, but
Mickey came and his girlfriend, Mickey Coachella.
Yes.
Mickey, yeah.
Yes, Mickey Coachella and girlfriend.
Well, you got to bring that up, Joe.
And
Dave Wilkerson, ex-landlord.
Yeah, like 20 people, basically.
It was huge.
And
so
we're all in our own section, and this is my first time being there. But Tommy Simbazo had considered wearing armor to this thing. He didn't, which I was disappointed. But he was very loud and vocal, very cheering for the Blue Knight, threatening if the Blue Knight doesn't do well, offering up our women to the Blue Knight if he does do well. And then they introduced the king, and Katie had the funniest line. She started chanting, "Not our king." So that was a great line.
Not my king. Yeah, yeah. It was hilarious.
And I was yelling, he didn't win the popular vote. And so Justin starts doing this chant. What was the chant again?
He goes, B-L-U-E. That's who I want inside of me. B-L-U-E. He was throwing carnations up into the audience for the women, and I was leaping. I got one.
Yeah.
It was,
No, I'm saying we were acting a fool for sure.
Yeah, one thing that I didn't know, that Scott Apple told me, that they had security standing over by us. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, but if I was watching us, I would think to myself, there's probably a 25% chance that this guy Tommy leaps over and into the arena, because we were the front row. It was easy just to hop over.
Well, the other reason we were the most rowdy is when they announced the birthdays. I believe all the birthdays were 8 and under. Is that correct?
Yeah. It seems like you only go there if it's part of a birthday party.
Or you're a small child.
Yeah, right.
So, but I there was one person that I thought really stuck out like a sore thumb in terms of that group, because that was a super rowdy group. And that was Scott Apple. Now, I don't know how this happened, because it was my birthday, but I had Scott Apple sitting next to me. I don't know how that happened. All of my
all
closest
funny
friends,
people there.
Yes. Yeah. The funniest people that I know are there. My closest friends are there. And somehow I have Scott Apple to my immediate left.
Was his wife there with him? His
wife was not there. And next to Scott Apple is Erica. Now, we don't talk about Erica much, but she's probably the exact opposite in every way of Scott. Agreed?
Right.
In
yes.
every possible way. The only way she could be more opposite if she was black.
Yes.
And Scott was being his himself is what he was being. He couldn't have been more Scott Apple. If you've been to medieval times, there's horses there. So the horses come out. Scott looks at one horse and he goes, "Well, that horse missed his mark." He starts shitting on the horse. Then he goes. Then he looks at one horse and he goes, "That horse is only about 14 hands high." He's making fun of the height of the horse. He's disappointed that it isn't a taller horse. Now, I made fun of Scott today when I saw him about him saying that, and he was still a dick. He goes, no, because I thought he said 13 hands. He goes, no, I said 14 hands.
Yeah, I never heard that expression. I don't even. Is that
that's how horses' heights are measured by hands. But one thing that I was shocked today. Now, we found out that Scott didn't know what dabbing was. We found that out that night. But something Scott said today, now Katie thinks not knowing dabbing is a bigger deal. But Scott today didn't know who Harambe was.
I mean, the Harambe, the gorilla guy that got shot, monkey, whatever the fuck it is. That's much worse than not knowing what dabbing is. I mean, dabbing is...
I think so. Katie made me think otherwise. What do you guys think? Not knowing who Harambe is got to be worse, right? No comments from Marcus or Robbie?
I don't know who Harambe or what dabbing is.
Oh, my God.
Well, I describe who Harambe was. You didn't, that Rob, didn't
Robbie, you don't know who Harambe is?
No.
The monkey that got, the ape that got shot when the
I
kid
know that
fell.
Story. I didn't remember that the thing was, his name was Harambe.
Maybe it's not as bad as I think. I mean, no, I thought you have to live under a rock to not know who Harambe is.
No, to not have heard that story, but the name, I get people not knowing the name.
Wow, I've heard it. Probably a thousand times since that story, right? Dick's out for Harambe. I believe he was sixth in the popular vote. I'm not joking.
Yeah. No, he did get a lot of votes for president. Yeah.
Well, not Robbie's vote, clearly.
As far as the Scott Apple thing, that he's has a lot worse things than that. But he doesn't know dabbing. That's a Cam Newton, that dance thing. But do you think he knows what the moonwalk is?
The moonwalk? Hmm.
What are the most famous dances? The electric slide?
The twist,
the a tango.
Yeah, hustle. He does know because you know we talked about this before. He took ballroom dancing.
Okay.
And after, remember at the time he took it with his girlfriend at the time, or maybe even fiance. And once she saw the rhythm of the other people in the class, and then the rhythm of Scott Apple, she then questioned whether or not they were, you know, at their apex in terms of lovemaking.
Sure.
She said, do you think we're doing the best we possibly can?
I'm sure, and of course, they're not.
We started laughing. Like, you really think the best possible sex you could possibly have is with Scott Apple? Is that what you think?
Okay. He's going to know all those, but does he know the pop culture dances? Does he know the Cabbage Patch, the running?
Does he know the wobble, the running man? Does he know the... What's the new one? What's the new one that they're doing? The guys from Maryland. You know what I'm talking about? That they made famous?
No, I don't.
Oh, all right.
He said it.
Somebody said the La Bamba. Yeah. Is that a dance? I thought that was just a song.
Lambada.
Oh, Lambada. Got it. Sorry.
That's
sorry,
the
Scott.
Forbidden dance show.
Yes, that is forbidden. All right. So then afterwards, this is at Maryland Live, is where at the Arundel Mills Mall, is where this is at the Medieval Times. Then we walk over to Maryland Live, which is connected to the casino, and to see this 80s band. And I don't know how that they knew this, but they started the beginning of their second set, said, hey, we're very excited to perform for all our buddies over at 98 Rock. And they point over to us.
But then they said Justin, Scott, and Spiegel. Of course, Justin was in the casino and Scott and Spiegel weren't there. Nobody who they thought was there, you know.
Well, they didn't say
Joe
that.
Robinson from Coors Light Last Call.
Didn't say that.
No.
But we acted like we were all there. Yeah.
Yes, I put my hand up. Mickey was there, right? So he's not even on 98 Rock anymore. I'm a fill-in. We got our hands up. But it doesn't matter. But afterwards, the one of the guys, the guy with the mohawk, I guess he was playing the bass, I think? He came over to me and he said, hey, listen, it was an honor to play for you. I said, no, you don't either don't know who I am or you're really exaggerating. He must have thought I was somebody else, right? Who would have been an honor to play for that he thought I was?
Who did he think you were?
I don't know. Clearly, he didn't think I was Joe Robinson.
Does he think you were like an executive or an on-air person?
We had to think I was on air, right? But who would it be an honor to play for? I mean, the only person it might be an honor to play for is Sarah Fleischer. He didn't think I was her, did he?
He thought you were Kirk McEwen.
Maybe Kirk. Who? I mean, Kirk's been on there a long time, but he knows that he knows I'm not. I mean, assuming he knows I'm not Kirk.
Kirk is black, if you guys didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, how did he know that anyone was there from 98 Rock? How did he even know?
I have
know
no
that?
Idea. I have no clue.
God, it's so funny. Anyway, well, happy birthday. I'm glad you had a good time. Was it everything you hoped and wished for?
I don't know how we could have had a better time.
Yeah, it was a great time. You didn't gamble at all, which is surprising.
No. I couldn't gamble. You know, I mean, I want to spend time with the people that were there. You know, I didn't really couldn't make my way out to the gambling area. Normally, I would have. If it was your birthday, I would have.
Oh, thanks. I guess. So if you're, if I had my birthday there, you'd dip out and go and hit the blackjack table.
Yes, it's your responsibility to entertain people, not mine. At your birthday.
Well, you know me. I don't have birthday parties, so you know, I don't need to. If you're going to have this party every year, I see all these are all the same friends I would want to invite. So I'll just go. My party would just be at your party.
That's true. And it was my 48th. It wasn't even like a some sort of landmark birthday. So you can just expect this every year.
I can't wait. Let's take a break. Rob and Joe Show. Be right back.
Hi, this is Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show, and I'm here to tell you about the most hysterical, amazing, and festive f***ing show I've ever had the privilege to be a part of. It's called A Merry Murder Mystery, another original, hilarious, interactive comedy whodunit from the guys who brought you The Newly Dead Game and Sing for Your Life. I'll have a starring role, and if you're very, very lucky, you might play a part too. You might even be the murderer. There's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, Riverboat on the Potomac, Colonial Beach, Virginia, December 10th. Tickets are on sale right now. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
And now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
So we had three murder mystery shows this past week, two venues. We went up to Helium, again in Philadelphia, hung out with Scott Bergson, hashtag better Bergson. Now, you guys took off, but Eric Woodworth and I hung out with Scott and a couple of his buddies and this girl that he's seeing. And we go to this Jim's Steak and Cheese place afterwards, the one he says is the best. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Was it better than the one we had the last time?
I think that it was, yes.
Okay.
So he tells me there's a picture signed. You know, they have celebrities' photos on the wall and signed pictures and stuff. And there's this guy, Dustin Nguyen. You know who that is?
Dustin Nguyen, like N-G-Y-U-N?
Yes.
Is he a poker player?
No, he was on 21 Jump Street. So, and his signature, it says Dustin Nguyen from 21 Jump Street.
Well, it has to say that. You're not going to know otherwise. Right. The only two people you're going to know is Dom DeLuise's kid, whatever that guy's name is, and Johnny Depp, right?
Exactly. And Holly Robinson.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, but Scott says to me that's the joke he and Mac have. If you're not a big enough celebrity so people know who you are, then you shouldn't be signing and having your picture on the wall. So I Facebook, hey, Mac Bergson, I'm hanging out with, I just met Dustin Nguyen. And he goes, the actor? I said, yeah, 21 Jump Street. He goes, I'm not getting the joke. So I take a picture of it and I post it. And then he messages me and he's still confused. And then finally he goes, oh, no, okay, I get it. But I'm like, so then he messages both Scott and I, his brother. And he's like, yeah, I thought you were making a joke about my wife being Asian. It's like, what does that even mean? No, I just thought it was an inside joke that I'd be in on it, but apparently you didn't get the reference, but that's okay.
Is his wife Vietnamese?
She's of some of,
you know. That's a Vietnamese name.
I'm not sure where in Asia. Hey, before you continue, I want to say one thing before I forget. You know, former guest on this show, Mike Turpin, local comic. Do you know he has an MMA fight? He's going to be fighting. He's literally going to be fighting somebody in February.
As long as he doesn't tell jokes, he'll be fine. So.
Sorry, somebody just sent that to me.
Okay. Are we rooting for him?
Of course, we're rooting for him, right?
Yeah. Well, if he's bad at it, you want him to just lose and just end it, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, I'd rather him be good. So not knowing, I'd run a route for him to win.
Well, because remember, he came on because when you met him and Wendy Townsend originally, they were dating, and you said they're going to break up, and then they did a few months later.
Of course, yeah.
So, well, now we can't. So we wish you well, Mike. Good luck. There you go. So then we do Jason Weems, by the way, filled in for Justin. He couldn't go to Philly because Wednesday night. And then this past Saturday, we were back in the Bright Box in Winchester, Virginia. And it was Justin's kid's birthday. I guess everyone has a birthday here this week. So great comedian Jason Weems filled in, did an awesome job. And Saturday, we love the Bright Box. It's a great venue. We've never had that show there. It's just the people there are awesome. It's always it's a tight, it's set up nicely, so it's intimate, and it's just really a good time. So Eric Woodworth, the star of many of these shows, great physical comedian, overweight man who gets naked, and former guest on the show, he plays the Santa Claus in the Christmas one, and his clothes basically come off, you know, a little bit at a time throughout the show. He's a drunk Santa Claus. So there's a portion of the show where he just is basically half naked, sitting on a chair, and people come up from the audience and sit on his lap and tell him what they want for Christmas. We make jokes. It's hilarious. So the Late Show Saturday, he had 40 people there from his job. Now, they may not, they might have been like work coworkers and then their spouses or whatever, but 40 deep, whole left side of the room, basically. So a woman comes up.
Yeah,
and
by the way, I don't know if you already said this, but that's a quarter of the crowd.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. Okay.
So, of course, he's really trying to play it up. I don't know how he could do more. He's already, his normal is playing it up. But someone sits on his lap that's in that group, and she asks him to sing a song. Now, Eric has already sung a song in the performance so far, in the actual show. He sings part of the All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Yeah, but it's a straight song, other than the fact that he looks funny, and I don't want to say anything because it kind of gives it away, but the song, he's just doing it, he's just singing the song straight, pretty much.
Yeah, but he's already established that he can play guitar and sing at least marginally well, right? So he has a guitar there. Now, if you've ever seen the Newly Dead Game, one of our other murder mysteries, Eric always starts the show as the warm-up act for this fake game show. And he sings this song parody. It's a song in his act, always does well. And the song is about his first love being a blow-up doll, basically. It's a very funny song. It's
Judy.
Silly.
Judy's her name.
Yes, Judy. And it always does well. It either does good to great. Never seen it do worse than good. And so I'm thinking, first of all, it's, he's got to know a Christmas song, right? He's Santa. He's going to go up there and sing some Christmas song. Maybe he'll butcher it. Maybe he'll add lyrics. But it'll be some sort of a Christmas song.
Can I interrupt this for 1 second? Yeah. Robbie, do you have any idea where this is going?
I do, because I've listened to Eric's CD.
Oh, okay. All right. Go ahead, Robbie.
And there's a common theme that runs through his CD.
Now, he has... So then he says, all right, I'm going to do an original. So I said, okay. He's going to do the blow-up doll song. Kind of weird, but Santa Claus having sex with a blow-up doll, it's a funny image. They're loving him. Gonna do fine. Then he mentioned something about, this goes out to my brother. And then in the back of my mind, I'm like, wait a minute. I think Eric has a song parody about his brother being an abortion. But he wouldn't sing that song. I mean, why would you do that, right? That doesn't make any sense. My brother, the abortion. He starts fucking singing an abortion song.
He does.
Yeah.
And you can tell, like, people are laughing, but they're like, wait a minute. And he actually walked somebody from his own group. Do you know that, Rob? Somebody from his own group. He started walking people, but it was people that came there to see him. They're like, we can't. Yeah. I can't sit here for this.
The looks on their faces. Now, it started off, it was getting some laughs. And I'm like, okay, Eric, have the sense to realize this was a bad idea. But so far, they haven't turned on you. You don't have to do the whole song.
No, cut it short, right?
Yeah. Does the whole thing. And so then it ends. And I'm like, well, that was weird. You know, we just move on. But I guarantee you that today, Monday at work, someone from that show was at work. And someone said, hey, how was your weekend? Great. Went to the Bright Box. Saw this Christmas murder mystery. How was it? It was awesome until Santa started singing a song about abortion. Santa did what? Yes, he sang a song about abortion. Why? Nobody fucking knows.
Do you think that – who do you think is telling more stories about what happened? The people that work with Eric or the people that don't work with Eric?
You mean the people? Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, no, the people that work with him. I mean, he was probably the star of work today. Because, I mean.
Well, not with that one guy that walked out.
He's the most talked about for sure. Well, there are people. Because, look, I even said this during the live show. I was like, you didn't expect to hear that. I mean, it was. I don't know why he thought that was going to be a good idea. But at the end of the day, they love the show. It doesn't really matter. But it is, it's about the worst thing you could have done. Now, in Eric's defense, I have a similar story about bringing an abortion into a holiday party. I think I've told this before. But
you sing an abortion song at a holiday? You can't sing.
No, years ago, I did. Wiseacres was a comedy club that I started out at. So did Annie Klein. Joe used to frequent there, do open mics. And it's in the side of this hotel in McLean, Virginia. And one year they had some car dealership there had rented out the room or a room in there to do this their holiday party. And they wanted comedians. And Mike Diesel was the head comedian there who's told me about, booked me on this, me and a couple other guys. And he had mentioned to me that this is a rowdy group. He said to me that literally last year they had strippers there. I don't know if that was true. Probably wasn't. But he said, you know, don't be super dirty, but they're rowdy. Have fun. Now, I'm really new into comedy. Eric's more seasoned now than I was at that point. But I had a joke that was one of my more favorite jokes. Not so much by the crowd, but definitely by the comics. And it was about the way to... the joke was about abortion. Essentially, the joke, it's very dirty, so brace yourself, was that, I don't know how you feel about abortion, but I think we can all agree if we didn't have any unwanted pregnancies, there wouldn't be any need for abortion. So how do you get rid of unwanted pregnancies? And the kicker to this joke is that, ladies, you need to let us guys come in your mouth. I decide, you know what? It did great, except for one lady who complained and made sure that we never got paid. So I had a long talking to with the general manager. so look, I should have known better, but because with a subject like that, it's only going to take one. That's going to be a hot button. There's going to be someone in any crowd of 100 that's just going to turn because of that.
You didn't get paid because you told one joke that one person didn't like?
Yeah, they agreed to, they said they're not going to pay. And then the hotel said, that's fine. And then I believe that I was offered to still get paid, but because like Diesel didn't take any of his money, I think I said no. Like if that's my memory of it is that happened.
Hmm.
So, I mean, it wasn't a lot of money. It's probably
now you're leaving a couple things out regarding Eric. 'Cause by the way, Eric, he is often the star of the show. Often.
He's the star this weekend too. Just pretty
yeah,
much.
He was. Definitely the star this weekend. But meaning, even though his part is usually about 1/5 or less of what the whoever that plays the detective. This weekend it was Jason Williams. Usually it's Justin Schlegel, but Eric has a very very small role. But it's high payoff. Well. Eric also said the F word on stage during the first show. And I'm not talking about fuck. I'm talking about the other F word that's highly offensive to gays.
Yes.
And in addition to that, he also...
Oh, no. By saying it, you mean he called someone that. That's yeah.
That's correct. That's correct.
That's worse than just saying it.
Yeah. No, you're right. Saying it isn't great, but directing it at someone, you're right, is worse. So, and I believe that was before the abortion song, correct?
I think that was the early show. He also said that word on our very podcast when he filled in for you. I think he has an affinity for that word.
Fucking faggot. There you go. So then I said, you know what? In spite of your bad week, Eric, I'm going to have you on the Ravens post game as your debut, my friend. How about coming and joining us at Mother's North and Timonium and sitting in and talking football with me to all of Baltimore? He took me up on that offer. Now, I like having Eric on the show. He's a funny guy, except for the fact that we had a somebody come in up from the audience to talk. You know, hey, what do you think of the game? You know, and just comment on what that person says. And he turns to him and says something, not these exact words, but something to the effect of, "Aren't you worried every time there's an Amber Alert?" He calls the guy a pedophile. Now, it was worse than that. Here's why. I was wrapping up the segment. I'm not kidding. You know, when I go, all right, Ravens 38, Dolphins 6, this is Joe Wright. He puts his finger up. I said, I'm sorry. Hold on a second. Eric has something to say. Stop the wrap up. Stop the wrap up to call this guy a pedophile.
Eric Woodworth, ladies and gentlemen. Bravo. And he's the normal one in their family.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we're going to hear it a little bit later. Probably segment three.
Yeah.
We discussed it last week that Jeremy Woodworth, his brother, threw his hat in the ring to also do the post game. Meanwhile, who would have known that Eric is just as big a risk, it seems like?
Who knew? Before we get to that, I want to talk about our new thing. We look, you guys have been listening now for 280 episodes or whatever, 5-6 years, and we do one show a week, and we've been fortunate enough to gain a lot of listeners over the years, have a good show, good product, we think. We have some great listeners, and we are now going to add a bonus show, one a month, for our paid listeners. There's a site called Patreon, Patreon.com. A lot of podcasts are doing this, and it's a way for you to basically give X amount of money a month. Every month you give a few dollars. Five is the baseline here with us. And with that, you get rewards. You can give more. You can cancel at any time. But just by giving $5 a month, you're going to get a new show just for you on the Patreon website or app. And it'll be different. We're going to make – look, on our show, we're doing what we do now. We're talking about our weekend, what happened in shows, Robbie's
Scott
birthday,
Apple, yeah.
Scott Apple, me and Tawanda stuff, Joe and Katie, Gramps. On the bonus show, we're going to try to just talk more current events. We don't really do that, but we want to give our take on all the happenings that's going on in the world. We generally only talk about the obvious current event things, the election, you know, who's going to win the Super Bowl, whatever. But we'll dive more into the minutiae with that. It'll be entertaining. It's going to be awesome. And basically, we have tiers. And you give more, you get more shit. Tier one, called the Pie Plate Closer. $5 a month, you get the bonus show. $10 a month, Black Beanbag Chair, owed to you, Robbie. We'll give you two tickets to a Dial After Productions murder mystery show. Plus, you
of your choice, right? They get to choose
of your choice, right. Yes. And of course, the bonus show, $20 a month, Steaks on a Plane. You get a free download card of my CD. You will get Robbie Robinson. We'll give you a free sex music playlist consultation. He will identify your relationship with your significant other and what songs might help get him or her most in the mood to have ideal sex.
You'll give us the nature of your relationship. You'll give him the type of music she likes, maybe ethnicity, age. Yes. Robbie will take all factors in, and he will tell you what songs you need to put. Robbie, what's a mix CD usually? What does it consist of? Maybe 12 songs?
Yeah, or fewer. You probably don't need 12.
Because you're not going to make it through 12? Is that what you're saying?
Probably.
The session itself?
Most people aren't going to make it to 12 songs.
It's going to be 15 to 30 minutes long, 15 to 45 minutes.
Yeah. Each song's going to be 3.5 minutes roughly. So,
gotcha. And then, well, you might want to have some songs to get you in the mood first. So, you're not like the whole act. You know, you might
don't tell Robbie. Robbie knows what he's doing.
Sorry.
Yeah, please.
Sorry. Also, Gramps will do a specific flirtation with you if you're a female, or the female in your life, sister, daughter, wife, mother, grandmother, aunt. Gramps will hit on her. And then
you know what I'm going to throw in, which isn't a part of that? I will forward the picture from Gramps' phone of that woman's tits. I'll forward that to you. That'll also be part of the beanbag chair.
Why you got to punish them, Joe?
Yeah. Do you want to do that for the $20 a month or for the $10 a month? Because we might want to give another reward for the black beanbag chair. But we'll
if they want it, they got it. Yeah.
And then the big enchilada, the tuna squeeze, $50 more a month. We'll get two free tickets to any murder mystery you want, as many as you want. And we will dedicate a show segment once a year on any topic you so desire. And Mac Bergson has asked about this. Yes, it doesn't have to be us. We can get Tommy on here to do a Chris or Steve impression. We can do whatever. We will make that happen for you. And again, you go to patreon.com. You're going to hear it in a second. But it breaks it all down. You can cancel cancel at any time. And, you know, $5 a month doesn't make any difference to your life, I would imagine. But if, you know, 1,000 of you do that, it will make a real difference in our lives.
Katie just texted me while I was in here. She said, I'll blow someone for $75 a month.
That's sweet of her.
Just kidding, guys. That's
Amber Alert.
I'm mixing that right now.
Right now, we already have Amy Michelle Berger has pledged money, Mac Bergson, Sue Fedor, and the Rooters, Hank and Laura out of Richmond, Marcus's and Nemesis.
But seriously, I mean, if you can give even $5 a month, and we've been doing this podcast for free for five years now, and we really need to kind of upgrade and maybe throw a little skin in the game for the work that we do. It's been a long commitment for what we've made so far. So if people can even just support the bare minimum, it really, really will help what we're trying to do here.
Yeah, and we are going to be upgrading some equipment and hope to make the sound quality better. And who knows, it might lead to more than one bonus episode. I mean, if the demand is there, we're willing to put in more work and to put out a better product and make it worth your money. Robbie, I didn't even ask you, but you're okay with the sex consultation playlist thing?
Yeah, sure.
When I wrote it up, it typoed to playlist consolation, and Amy Michelle Berger said, "Why do I need consoling?" I didn't understand at first, and then I said, "Oh no, it's consultation." And she's like, "Well, I'll give money, but you don't have to tell me to feel bad about it." And I was like, "Okay, no, it didn't. It's supposed to be consultation, not consolation."
Well, in your defense, most of our listeners do need consoling.
Yes, they do. They totally do. So yeah, check it out. You hear an ad here in a second. Explain it in more detail. But we appreciate it. There's also an app, so you can go right to the website or download the app. It's real easy to do. Patreon.com. Rob and Joe Show. Be right back. Yo, Rob and Joe listeners, it's time for you to give us all of your money. Well, not all, but at least $5 a month. Become a patron of our show on Patreon. That's patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show.
Yeah, 6 years for free is enough, okay? You guys have been, it's enough handout.
Yeah, come on, people. Earn your way. But what will you get for this $5? You will get a bonus episode each month. New content. It's going to be a different show than the one we normally do. It will be worth it. That's patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. Sign up, give us your money. Maybe we'll invest in better equipment.
Coors Light Last Call. Here's Joe Robinson.
Live from Mother's.
So we had the conversation last week, Joe, that you'd hate to do the post game by yourself.
I don't. I wouldn't like it.
You don't like it. I can't always make it. You have Tommy Sabazo on. Tommy knows nothing about football. You had Eric Woodworth on. Eric drops pedophilia jokes.
By the way, this past week, what I do is when I do the Ravens player of the game, I usually write down some names for Tommy so he'll have something to talk about, right? Like, right. Here we go. Mention this on the and I told him, you know, mention Eric Weddle, right? Had an interception, had a couple pass defense. Also, Jimmy Smith came back from injury. I said, mention that. Great game. Second tackle, blah, blah, blah. He calls him Jimmy Weddle. I said, you mean Eric Weddle? I mean, so clearly all of Baltimore knows this guy knows nothing about football, but he is funny. So I refuse to have anybody else. I'd rather just have Tommy knowing nothing than some football expert that I can't stand.
What does it say, Robbie, about Joe that he'd rather have someone who knows nothing about football and can't get the players' names right than just be by himself?
He's been this way all his life.
Yeah, he can't be alone, this guy.
Yeah, he used to he couldn't even drive 5 minutes to the Wawa without somebody in the car with him.
Got issues. So we mentioned last week Jeremy Woodworth, Eric's brother, who is very dark sense of humor. And Chris Restivo, who does love football, but also tends to say horrid things, has no filter, very offensive things. And so they're going to have a competition. They're gonna do an audition tape, and then we'll decide who does better. Now,
I've edited these down, but I will put their entire, what they gave us, the entire thing, I'll post it this week, and people can vote on Twitter, too.
I'm sure people are going to be listening to the whole thing start to finish.
After they hear this sampling, they might want to hear the whole thing.
Right.
Hopefully several times. So I post on Facebook. I tag both Jeremy and Chris. We have a little back and forth. I wait 2 days. I private message Chris Restivo. Have you done the audition tape yet? He goes, what are you talking about? But Chris, we had a whole conversation. He goes, what do I have to do? Chris, again, did you listen to the show? Yes. Well, okay. Just listen to the segment again.
Oh, I thought he didn't listen to the show. He listened and still didn't understand what to do.
I think he hadn't listened. Then he listened and he goes, okay, I'm not sure what to do. So Chris, just give what you would bring to the table as the co-host. He goes, negative or positive? I said, doesn't matter. What do you think? Do you think it should be positive for the Ravens or negative? What would your instincts?
Yes. What do you think the Ravens postgame would want right. you to say?
So then he did his. I sent them both to you, Robbie. We're going to start off with Jeremy's, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's hear it.
When the oceans drank Atlantis, there was an age undreamed of extra awesome podcasting. It has been another good week of victory for the Ravens and Flacco. He has destroyed the Bengals. Mounds and mounds of bodies cover the field. And as is customary, he climbs atop the largest mound, carrying the head of his vanquished victim, Dalton, the quarterback. What does he do? He holds aloft the head over his mouth and drinks his blood and does his customary scream.
Sorry about that. Well, we're just going to take a nice little break now with Christopher Cross and sailing. And now, back to the Ravens Report! It's time to talk about somebody very special. Justin Tucker. There is a beautiful man with a beautiful voice. Okay, time for another commercial break.
This is Wilford Brimley. I have diabetes. Like I told Kurt Russell to check on Clark, because I thought he was the thing. If you don't check your diabetes, you end up turning into a dinosaur beast with 5 heads. You can't let that happen.
Okay, thank you from the Rob and Joe Show, and we're going to play out a nice little tune from Nirvana, one that all the kids love, Rape Me.
Rape Me.
Kids.
There you have it, folks. Jeremy Woodworth. Hey, Jeremy, great job. You put a lot of work into it, and according to Eric, Jeremy was very excited about how well he did, and I think he is encapsulated who he is very well in that segment.
Yeah, I think you'll get a better idea during the longer clip. Now, I will say this. While we were on the doing the post game, somebody called into, you know, we give out the number, and the guy running the board goes, hey, we got a call. He said something about Joe Flacco mentioned during his press conference that he was standing on a pile of bodies. And I go, I can't have Eric on there talking about child rape and then also Jeremy calling. So I said, not this week. Let's just disconnect right now.
Can you imagine? You're like, so Jeremy, what'd you think of the game? Well, my God, it was amazing. I was
like, diabetes or whatever. Yeah. Okay. All right. Anyway, good effort.
That's entry one. And now let's hear from Chris Restivo.
John Harbaugh whines more than a Hillary Clinton supporter after election results. The man whines more than a starving African child on a Sally Struthers commercial. And you know, I love African Americans, and I will continue to do a lot for African Americans. On that note, Joe Flacco has the personality of a dead moth. He is so slow. He leaves a trail of slime every time he attempts to scramble. He passes like a 4-year-old little girl. He's very low energy, and Baltimore wants high energy. Frankly, Jeb Bush has more energy than Joe Flacco. After building a bronze statue of a murderer, a guy that stabbed 2 people and said he was too fashionably dressed, they draft a guy who starves his dog and an alligator. I mean, who has a pet alligator? What is this? They cut ties with the midget Ray Rice, who uppercutted his girlfriend in the elevator like a scene from Mortal Kombat. They pass over the number one lineman over a bong hit. They cut Eugene Monroe, who advocated for smoking dope. So they sign Eric Weddle, who is more washed up than Tom Hanks in Castaway. They sign Trent Richardson, who is about as useless as an Obama press conference. And then they cut him after a day. The general manager looks like Bill Cosby during a courtroom hearing. Terrell Suggs looks like he was punched in the face by meth. If you look at his mouth, it is about the size of a whale shark. I mean, there's so much I could say about this team, but I have a speech to make after this. Thank you, Baltimore, and good luck on a 6-10 season.
Change that makes America safe again. Donald Trump for president.
There he is, folks. Chris Restivo.
Chris Restivo doing Donald Trump.
Yeah, he decided to go negative, I think. Before we decide who we think is the best, which do you think the Ravens would think? Would they prefer?
Well, they're going to definitely prefer the pro Raven. If they had to choose between those two.
Is there any way we could actually get these played for those people?
Yeah, right.
There's got to be a way, right? Well, I mean,
you want the Ravens front office to hear this? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, in Chris's defense, he did bring up some. I mean, he dropped Terrence Cody, the guy that starved his dog. You don't even know about that, Joe. I mean, he dropped more Ravens knowledge than you had.
Well, I knew about Tunsil, the guy who did the bong hits, and we got Stanley in lieu of him. Yeah. I knew that.
But he did some research. He showed that he knows about the Ravens. Now, everything he pointed out was negative, which is probably
yes,
not good.
I can't sit there. By the way, you know, this is so annoying. You know, Ray Lewis was not accused of stabbing anyone. He never was.
Oh, now you're fact-checking Chris Restivo? That's your
no,
problem.
I'm just saying. I mean, I hate when people say that regardless, even if that's negative, he was never accused of that. He was accused of being there. He turned state's evidence. Those guys went free. I don't, you know, I'm not, whatever. It doesn't matter. But yeah, clearly you can't go negative. You can't talk about Ray Lewis stabbing people on the Ravens post game. You can't.
Well, you also can't say here's "Rape Me" by Nirvana for the kids.
No, for the kids you can't. But you can definitely say here's "Rape Me" by Nirvana. I guarantee you, 98 Rocks played that song before.
Okay, but they haven't done a shout out for the kids.
No, definitely haven't done that.
This is something we want your kids to do.
That Jeremy said, shout out for the kids and played Rape Me. And then his brother also mentioned child rape.
Well, but actually, I would like to hear Marcus's vote.
Jesus, do I really have to?
Yes, you got to pick one.
I can't go with Chris because I don't think that his Trump was very good.
I think his Trump is horrible. Rob loves it. Did I say beforehand? I think it's such a bad Trump.
I think that as far as Chris Restivo attempts at humor, that was one of his more successful.
Oh, of course. When he leaves a trail of slime, that was funny. You know, Chris had some actually funny lines there.
Punched in the face by meth. That's a good one.
Yes, it was funny.
Hold on. That's like saying Chris Restivo is funny when he farts.
What do you mean? No. Those were funny lines. If Rob said he was punched in the face by meth, you'd think that was funny. That's a good line.
Yeah, it's a good line.
He's so slow, he leaves a trail of slime. That's funny.
It's the delivery.
So, well, there's also, you could explain to these two, you have to be positive, Chris. Jeremy, you can't talk about rape and children. You could give them guidelines, but based on what they delivered, based on these two, who would you feel most comfortable now having as your co-host, Joe?
Oh, Jeremy. But are you asking which one was better, or who would I feel more comfortable with as my co-host?
Tell us both.
Yeah.
What's that now?
Tell us both.
Well, I thought Chris was funnier. I did.
So you are saying that the next home game at Mother's, you're going to have Chris Restivo as your co-host.
That is not correct. I'm going to have Tommy Cimbazzo talking about Jimmy Edwards or whatever, Jimmy Weddle.
Jimmy Edwards. So, Marcus, you say Jeremy. Joe, you say Chris. I also say Chris Restivo. Robbie?
100% Chris's stream of consciousness was on point. I would love to hear that every week on the Raven Show.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to happen.
I would love it. He had some real Ravens knowledge. Just imagine if he did that, but instead of bashing the Ravens, he bashed the other team. He just did these same highbrow, clever jokes that Steve was known for.
Doing his bad Trump.
His bad Trump. Look, it's bad, but it's obvious that it's Trump.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, I laughed. There was a bunch of funny things that Chris said.
Well, he's an hilarious comedian. Of course he is.
Well, and Jeremy was all over the place. If you hear his whole thing, I mean, he doesn't have any kind of point of view. It's like he's like throwing everything in there. It's like everything but the kitchen sink is ridiculous.
Yeah, well, both of those, if I played either one of those on the postgame, I would get fired.
I think you could play some of Jeremy's, just his intensity in a small dose. It would go over well.
No,
he
I agree with that.
Buried the Bengals. I mean, that could play.
No, I agree with that. And but if he Chris, says he, God,
if
I'm sorry.
Chris would point his negativity at the opposition, then it could work.
Which I gave him the option to, and he said, "Nope, I'm going to go." Imagine going to a job interview at Target, and you just talk about how much Target sucks.
That's you put it. Did. You're filling out an application. You're writing it on there and handing it in.
Right.
There you go.
Much better. Well, you know what? I'm proud of. I'm proud of you both. You stepped up. You clearly put some work into it, fellas. And we have a tough decision. We'll put it to Twitter at Robin Joe Show, and of course, our Facebook. I want to talk about Gramps. We've mentioned Walker Hayes, the girl you've met once. Joe, that Gramps has somehow Facebook friended. She posted something about some guy mentioning that his girlfriend was really classy, and then he kept mentioning it that she was classy. And so Tommy Cimbazzo had a great line. He goes, "Are you sure that just wasn't her name? Her stripper name was Classy." Mm-hmm. And Walker says, "Love you. That's so funny. I love you in a platonic way." And Gramps chimes in, "But you don't love me in a platonic way, do you?"
Oh, my God.
Tommy says, "To fuck, Gramps." So eventually Walker posted that she's okay with it. She likes Gramps. So
she
then I see
him hitting on her.
Yeah, she's okay with it. Then I see she posts a picture of her in a bikini, and I'm like, oh, God.
Here it comes.
What's going to happen? I'm scrolling through. And he goes, "How can I concentrate knowing this picture's up?" Which, as far as comments go, was pretty tame. I mean,
that
who knows what he's going to do? Yeah.
Did Gramps imply that he did? Do you think he masturbated to that picture?
If you want to go there in your brain, you can go right ahead. But I'm okay with not thinking that clip far ahead. Didn't you have a Gramps story too, Joe?
I do. Let me look this thing up here, if I may. Hold on. I guess I should have been better.
We want to talk about Tommy's girlfriend wanting to go camping. Did we talk?
Yeah,
about
let's talk about that while I'm looking. Tommy's been dating the same girl. As a matter of fact, they've been engaged for like 8 years, right?
Yep.
So I think that's actually worse than your situation, Rob.
What's funny? He told us that they had planned on having a Halloween wedding because that's the kind of people they are, and I guess the first Halloween after they got engaged. Didn't Tommy say that his mom like took off work that week?
Yeah, she thought they were going to get married, right?
Yeah.
I guess she takes off every Halloween now.
Hey, that was 8 years ago. Still not married.
Right. Hey, Gramps wants you to know he didn't masturbate.
Okay.
Thanks, Gramps. So his girlfriend, I guess she is a little drunk, but she said, "Hey, I really want to go camping this summer." Now, full disclosure, I don't want to go camping, but I love Tommy and I love Lou. And if they want to go camping, then we'll do it. You know what I mean? It'll be fun. It's not my favorite thing to do with people, but if that's what we're doing, we'll do it. I'll do it, right?
Right, sure.
So we're like, okay, well, we'll do it. She goes, okay, well, here's what we're going to do. We're just going to get tents, and we're just going to go out there, and that's all we're going to bring. I'm like, what? What about food? We're not bringing food. We're going to live off. I go, what the fuck? I'm not doing that, right?
For how long? How long did she suggest?
It's a weekend. But, I mean, you understand, we're not going to make it. We won't make it a day. without food? What am I going to get, a goddamn squirrel? I can't. Okay, seriously, that's I need to have food. But I figured she'd be like, oh, yeah, okay, that's not reasonable. But she would, like, double down. She's like, no food. Tommy's like, we're going to bring food. She's like, no, I won't go then. So now Tommy's like, you know what? We'll go camping with these guys with food, and then you and I will go a weekend on our own without food. Because he knows that's not going to be a weekend. It'll be 3 o'clock into the first day, and we're like, where's the food?
Joe, if you had, let's say you had water. That's taken care of. If you had a knife, a matches, ability to start fire, and you were somewhere where there was wildlife and there was a pond or a lake with fish in it, could you manage to get some food?
No.
How would I get a whole food? Weekend.
What am I going to eat?
You
with
can
a
catch
knife?
A fish. Okay. Scale it.
Okay. How? How am I going to catch fish?
You'll find something. Something on your body could turn into a hook. You have a zipper. I don't know. You dig around. You scavenge. You, if you had to, you don't think you could get one protein to eat?
I mean, I could eat insects.
No. You need to kill something, like kill a squirrel, wrestle a bear. Catch a fish somehow. You can make some sort of net.
I mean, is anybody on this show able to do that?
I'm guessing if you had a weekend and that's all you were focused on, maybe you could.
No, if I had a weekend, I'd just be like, all right, well, this weekend's going to suck. I'm just not going to eat.
Well, no, but let's say you won money or something if you able to properly, if you're able to kill a fish and take the scales off, whatever to do, and then cook it.
How am I going to do that? I have no fishing line. I just got to just get lucky.
Yes. If you caught a fish, you'd figure out how to do the rest, right?
Well, yes, of course. If I caught one, I think catching it is the hard part, right? With my hands?
Well, I'm saying if you look around, you might find, if this is a place where people fish, there might be some fishing line lying around or a hook or something. You might be able to find some.
What you'd want to do is fashion a spear or a net.
Yeah.
How am I going to make a net? What are we doing here? I'm not going to make a net.
Hey, Joe, can you fashion a net?
Seriously, what am I going to make a net out of, Robbie?
You can weave vine.
Okay, enough of this. Clearly, I'm not doing
this. You guys don't watch
that.
Survivor?
Not only am I not doing this, neither is Lou, and they're not doing it. They might, and Tommy knows it too. They're not going to go out there and live off the land. By the way, what if you were able to kill a squirrel? You going to fucking eat a squirrel? I'm not.
Yeah.
You're going to eat a squirrel.
If I'm getting, if you just cook it. You just
take
the skin off.
We decide we're going to do this, which this is a dumb hypothetical because we're never doing this. But we decide we're going to do it. So we go out into the woods. And I go, all right, I bagged a squirrel.
Yeah.
And I skin it and cook it. You're going to eat it?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, you wouldn't eat a squirrel?
No, I would not. I don't eat rodents.
Okay. I mean, you're not going to die from it if you cook it right.
Yeah, but what makes you think I'm going to taste it right? No, it's going to taste like the woods.
Okay, and if you cook it, if you burn it, it's not. It won't taste good, but it won't be bad for you.
Okay, yeah. I don't want to eat burnt squirrel. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I'm not going to eat it.
Well, when you're starving, you might take some burnt squirrel.
Well, I get hungry, but I'm not going to be starving Friday evening. I'll make it.
You're telling me it's Saturday morning. You got there 5 p.m. Friday. You're not eating a piece of my burnt squirrel I just made?
No, I'm not. No, I'm telling you
right
now.
Yes, you are.
Not.
You 100% you are. I'm going to be eating it, and it's going to taste good because I'm starving. You're going to be like, fuck it. Let me try it.
What do you think the best part of the squirrel is? I bet it's like the hips.
Yeah, the legs.
Yeah. Squirrel. But more the upper leg, right?
Yeah.
Does a lot of climbing. Yeah, I'll bet there's some good meat there.
You'll eat my fucking squirrel. All right, the three of us, Robbie and the two of us, Joe, who is able to catch and cook food first?
Well, Robbie is, he's good, like, artistically, and I feel like that would also make him good, like, engineering-wise, being able to design something.
What does that mean, artistically? How does that help?
Do you think you could design the net that Robbie's referring to? Robbie could do it.
The fucking net. I mean, what is there to design?
You're not making a net. Robbie's going to make a net before you.
Okay. I don't think artistically you're going for that with a net. You're just going for functionality.
I'm saying Robbie's mind works that way. What am I talking to? You're not making a net. What is your argument that you're making it before Robbie? You're not.
I could get some, I could make a net.
I'm telling you, you and me are last, and we're fighting for last.
I got shoelaces, so I got that.
What are you going to do with your shoelace? You're going to whip it?
I can tie something with a shoelace. I'll have boots on. I'll have longer shoelaces.
You ever see that thing where, I don't know how it works, but they put a rope on the ground. If something walks in it, it goes up and traps them. How does that work?
Yeah,
How do they know when it's in it? How does that happen?
I can make of this.
Robbie, do you know?
No, I don't know how to make that trap, but I would study before I went out in the woods. My biggest obstacle would be the actual killing and cleaning the animal.
You think Rob knows how to do that?
I don't want to do any of that.
I don't want to do any of this.
I don't want to be like what my girlfriend was referring to.
What? I could do that. I'm just talking about, I don't even like when my girlfriend cooks lobster in the house. You know what I mean? It bothers me.
Okay, well, make a deal. You catch it, I'll skin it and clean it.
Yeah. I'll do the catching.
And then we eat it? Because apparently you won't eat anything, Joe.
No. I mean, if I'm out there for a day, I'm not eating it. A fish? No, I'd eat a fish, clearly.
All right, so you eat a fish that I catch and scale and clean and cook.
Yes, if the only item we bring is lemon butter, I'll be willing to eat it. We bring our one item.
I have matches. Robbie has a spear, and Joe has lemon butter.
Hey, let's start. Here we go.
Naked and afraid.
Bunch of pussies.
Well, that's the show.
We didn't tell you a Graham story. You want to throw the Graham story in real quick? People are going to be clamoring. You want to save it for next week?
I don't know. What do you think? Is it worth saving? Or is it going to be a
Yeah, it's a good story. Yeah, you know what? Let's save it. We'll tell it next week.
We'll save it for
next week. It's about Gramps in a knife fight.
I love it. Good tease. Listen next week. We'll be back, or not back, but we'll be at the Colonial Beach, Virginia, the riverboat on the Potomac. First time there doing our murder mystery. It's out Fredericksburg-ish area, something like that. This Saturday, the 10th, check it out, dielaughingproductions.com. Guys, awesome show. We'll see you next week.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.